Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your boy Johnny Bananas, and I'm going to be covering a brand new season of The Challenge USA on CBS that, of course, I will be completely dominating on my podcast, Death Taxes and Bananas, on the Ringer Reality TV Podcast. Head over to that feed and follow us on Spotify so you never miss an episode.
My Eagle enthusiasts, it's Fairway Rollin' presented by FanDuel. Major season is here and you can get in on all the long drives, big putts, and major moments with FanDuel. Check out live PGA Tour bets like longest drive, round leaders, matchups, birdie or better, and more. Plus, track every shot in the app and watch select par three holes while you place your bets. Download the app today and bet with FanDuel, the official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 years old or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this golf podcast, unlike any other. Oh, yes, my friends. How about a very special Ryder Cup edition of Fairway Rollin'? Golf podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. My birdie buddies, I am your starter, Joe House, joined by my incomparable accomplice, our PGA Tour correspondent, boots on the ground, Nathan Hubbard. Look, my Eagle enthusiasts, anytime we have the announcement of captain's picks rounding out the United States Ryder Cup team in advance of the competition in Europe, we must have a reaction podcast. This is that show, a two ball on a Tuesday for the Nate Dog and I. The pegs are in the ground and we are off. Nate Dog, did Captain Zach get it right? Let's get going.
He listened to Fairway Rollin' and he was highly convinced by the Sam Burns argument. And as I sit here and look at this roster, this is what we said, and I think he made the right call, House.
I enjoyed certain aspects of Captain Zach's all-business performance today. No nonsense, no hoopla, no fireworks going off. Cut straight to the point, and he emphasized the combination of relationships and skill sets, and as we're sizing this up over the last 5 weeks, Nate Dog, that is what we thought was the right kind of approach. The task force, the captain's committee that's been shepherding this, the only misstep out of the committee, the task force, the entire year is poor Freddie Couples putting his foot in his mouth, right?
By saying Cam Young was going to be on the team?
Seems like a mistake.
Yeah. Look, things change, baby. And the truth is there are six spots where the captain doesn't get to pick. And if you want to represent your country, go play well enough to make it immovable. I mean, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman went out and grabbed tournaments from some other pretenders, and they're on this team as a result. I mean, look, the most controversial picks here, there really are three potentially. And if you're going to quibble, you're going to say Ricky, Justin Thomas, and Sam Burns could have been replaced by any number of Keegan Bradley, Tony Finau, Lucas Glover, right?
That's the argument.
Yeah. So look, I get it. And let me tell you something that our friend Justin Ray, a frequent guest on this podcast, wrote today for the PGA Tour's website. I mean, he pointed out that Scottie Scheffler is going to finish the season with an adjusted scoring average that is the seventh lowest in the history of the PGA Tour and the best by anyone not named Tiger Woods. He made bogey or worse on 10.73% of his holes all season long. That is the first time a player has been below 11% since Tiger in 2002. Now, House, Scottie Scheffler had 2 seconds and 2 wins this year amongst an entirely massive slate of top tens. And you say, okay, well, it was the putting. Well, was it the putting? Because his approach putt performance, he was second on tour in approach putt performance. But he was 177th inside of 10 feet. He was 160th from 10 to 15 feet. I mean, we saw this 130th from 20 to 25 feet. He was dead last in most of these playoff events. Our best guy has a glaring weakness and he needs to be picked up. And you made that case on Sunday that that he needed a birdie buddy. And that is Sam Burns. So I just think that case in and of itself makes a hell of a lot of sense, especially when you compare him to somebody like Cam Young. Those guys, they had a qualifier. It's called the Dell Match Play Championship. They went head to head in the final and Sam Burns won.
It was really down to Cam Young and Sam Burns. That's where we landed. I like the argument put forth by a guy we've been tracking all season. His Twitter feed has been terrific, Ron Close. Twitter feed is at PGA Splits 101. I guess we call it the X feed. He argued for Cam Young on the basis that Cam Young is an elite driver of the golf ball and would be able to take advantage of carrying dog legs and bunkers. And Ron pointed out, you know, strokes gained off the tee, that over the last 18 rounds, he's gained an average of 1.29 strokes, and that, you know, his career singles record in match play is good. The other thing that Ron emphasized is that the bent grass greens at Marco Simone in Rome are something that Cam Young performs well on. I just can't get over, and I respect quite a bit Ron's opinion on these matters. I can't get over the difference between the two of them putting. I mean, Sam Burns finished the year 11th and Cam Young finished the year 145th. Yes. And we need putters. I sat down and did the work of, you know, comparing our sort of top seven or eight against their top seven or eight. Now, the best putter by strokes gain measurement on both teams is Xander, who finished the year 4th. Mm-hmm. And Max Homa finished the year 7th. And Sam Burns finished the year 11th. That's pretty good. We yes. like having that kind of firepower on the putting surfaces. But by contradistinction, Colin Morikawa finished 111th. Yikes. And Justin Thomas finished 137th. And Scottie Scheffler finished 150th.
Yikes. So,
those guys got to get paired up. And by the way, Jordan Spieth finished 80th. So yeah. That's not good.
Look, no, but so then
it's not just a putting competition, obviously we acknowledge that, but
it isn't. And listen, so we got to shift the conversation to JT because that's the one that a lot of people are angry about. And, you know, you're online and seeing some people saying, oh, it's a boys club. Well, first of all, these are all boys. It's a country club sport, but Justin Thomas, the last time that we played in Europe, the guy who won 4 out of 5 possible points and our top point scorer was Justin Thomas. And as Zach Johnson said in the press conference, in a lot of ways, this guy is the heart and soul of the team, and you just can't leave him home. That was the calculation. If you're gonna say somebody else should have replaced him, you know, well, first of all, somebody said to me today, well, you know, he could have done that from a golf cart in a captain's position, which is maybe true until you go look at the I love me some me. You look at the way that he fired up Spieth. You got to be on the course in the moment to make that happen. And yeah, Thomas sort of tipped his hand a little bit and said, these guys are all tired. They don't want to look at a golf course. I mean, John Rahm is at the U.S. Open right now in a Proud Boys Hawaiian shirt, like talking on TV. Justin Thomas has been grinding and working on his game. And I suspect, as we're going to potentially find out in Napa, getting a bit better. I agree with the pick. This is not who's the hottest golfer right now. There is chemistry. It has driven the Europeans for years to win with guys like Ian Poulter and Luke Donald, guys who've never won, Lee Westwood, guys who've never won majors but have outpointed our guys. And what every single captain of that squad on the European side has spoken to is chemistry, chemistry, chemistry. And that is what Justin Thomas is. So I totally support and agree with the pick. We needed it in light of some of the auto qualifiers who deserve to be there, but I'm just not sure Brian Harman and Wyndham Clark, Wyndham Clark's first time in any of these competitions, and Scottie Scheffler, who, you know, is dealing with some putting demons and is not the most outspoken guy. I'm not sure those are the guys who are just going to pick up and wave the flag. And in an event like this, you got to have a flag waver.
Yeah. And they're also, you know, the principle of continuity here, where you're leveraging the experience in these team competitions year mm-hmm. after year after year, and you want to grab this core group and have them, you know, we're not mixing and matching. We have a principled basis for you know, trying to trot out a core eight if the play will permit it. And that's the basis for JT. I have absolutely no issue with it whatsoever. I haven't had any issue with it. And you must have JT if you have Jordan. So that's really, to me, what it comes down to. We only have three rookies on the team, and two of those rookies have experience to draw upon. So Brian Harman hasn't played in team competition, you know, recently, but he won the U.S. Junior, which you know that's. That's one of those things where there's match play. You know, you have to win a whole slew of match play, so you understand that he's in that. I think his singles match play record is pretty stellar. And then the homie Homa played in the President's Cup last year, so he has things to draw upon. The only true rookie really is Wyndham Clark, but his short game has been so stellar, and what he showed us at the U.S. Open. It looks like he could be paired with, you know, a lot of different folks, and his he to me is like the classy Cam Young, right? He has that same attribute of being good off the tee, strokes gained off the tee, and you know, with his driving statistics, it's going to make him be kind of malleable. I wouldn't be surprised to see him paired up with like Colin Morikawa, perhaps, you know. Wyndham's putting numbers are good. He's 37th, you know, strokes gained putting. So, you know, maybe that balances out a little bit. But we have, you know, a natural set of pairings sort of right off the jump, right? I mean, JT and Jordan, obviously. Xander and Patrick, obviously. Scotty and Sam Burns, obviously. You know, and then whatever you want to do.
What do you do with Max?
It could be Max and Colin. They have a great relationship.
The Cal connection.
Yeah. And they like each other. You see them, like, you know, on the putting range, they were next to each other. Not the putting range, the driving range. They're next to each other, and they've been doing some, like, you know, appearance stuff. I feel like there's some good chemistry there and their ability to kind of rally each other. Brooks, at this stage of his game, I'd feel comfortable putting him with anybody. If you want to put Brooks with Wyndham Clark,
I think that's
fine by me. Right?
Real possibility. Yep.
some big for bombers. Sure. Not worried. Ricky's a glue guy. Ricky's the ultimate glue guy. Feels like Ricky could play with anybody. Maybe Ricky and Brian Harman. You know, Brian Harman's going to go out there and bulldog it. So,
yeah,
I like the flexibility. It's clear that there are no chemistry issues, right? We're not wondering about personalities and get-alongs and, you know, all that stuff. It didn't ultimately matter at Whistling Straits, right? Whistling Straits, everybody got along just fine. We wondered about personality dynamics, Brooks and Bryson and, you know, DJ, but DJ gets along with everybody. So, but just basic sort of chemistry questions.
It was such
questions.
An ass whooping that it sort of put all that drama aside. But I still think if you inject truth serum into Brooks, he's not that fired up about hanging out with Bryson DeChambeau, and he's not too disappointed that he's not on this team. But this is the right pick. I understand. It's a little weird to me. I mean, Tony Finau's sitting at home right now. I think he understands the rationale, but I mean, the guy had 2 wins this season, 5 top 10s, 13 top 25s. You know, he was not, now listen, I get his wins, Houston Open and Mexico weren't the biggest, and he wasn't great in the majors this year. He wasn't great in the playoffs. So I that's why he's sitting at home. He's a big bomber. I just do think he sort of plays the role on the team that a Wyndham Clark might play.
I think the only guy, and he did put out, you know, a statement that's truly disappointed. No, I mean, I'm not suggesting that the other guys that didn't make it are Keegan. Not truly disappointed. It's Keegan, yes. And
I feel for Keegan.
The Keegan point is, to me, the following. If Brian Harman had not won the Open Championship, Keegan might have had that spot. Now, Brian Harman over the course of the year would have performed well enough and had, you know, I think like would have been for sure in the top 12, even if he hadn't won the Open Championship. But, you know, Keegan would have been able to distinguish himself in his arguments. He tried with the experience that he brings to the table and being that sort of wise head and maybe a calming influence. The problem for Keegan is he had 1 top 10 after March.
Yeah.
And that top 10 was the win that he had at the Travelers. And you cannot.
Well, true championship doesn't count, but he was T9.
Well,
but...
and no, right. Up to the Tour Championship. And the lingering impression of the Tour Championship was the Sunday 73. That's the issue, right? That's the thing. If you're going to make a form argument and you know, he could have played better at Olympia Fields and he got close at East Lake. He did catch our attention enough to have us
63 on Thursday. Eyebrows were up.
We were musing. Okay. Well, look, if Keegan's in, then who's out, right? Who's Keegan bumping? And the answer would have been Sam Burns. But ultimately, you know, the thing that we just sort of discovered over the last handful of days was the powerful connection between Sam Burns and Scotty. And because of how low Scotty clearly ended up season wise by virtue of that the putter just abandoning him, we needed, it's exactly what you said. We need a birdie buddy for Scotty Scheffler to give us our best chance, right?
Yeah. And so I don't have any problems with this team. I think it's the right team to take.
This episode is brought to you by Evernorth Health Services. Costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and Evernorth is doing everything in their power to make that possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best. It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that'll benefit your bottom line. It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible because they're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And, you know, secretly, House, there's a hell of a lot more drama on the European side around who they're going to take. Because I think, I mean, you tell me, I think these guys are locks. Rom, Rory, Victor, Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Matt Fitzpatrick, and then I think Justin Rose and Sepp Straka are locks. I think you got to take them based on their performance this year. They each got one. So that's
eight. Eight. Okay.
Eight guys who I think are probably locks. But then you got this whole list of people. If it's really about chemistry, and if you can take a live guy who didn't qualify for points, is there any chance at all that Luke Donald thinks about Sergio Garcia or Thomas Peters or Lee Westwood? Probably not, because in front of those guys, you've got just this cornucopia of could-bes. You got Bobby Mack, who is third on qualifying points, almost won that Scottish Open. He got Shane Lowry, didn't make the playoffs, a lot like Justin Thomas, right? Heart and soul of a team, of passion and fire.
He's a lot.
Okay.
Shane Lowry's in. Telling you he's in.
Because Yannick Paul is sitting there fourth in points. Adrian Meronk won at Marco Simone earlier this year. Ludvig Åberg is playing this week with the assistant captains, including Eduardo Molinari, in the DP World Tour event, the last chance to show off before you get picked on Monday. Yeah, there's a Victor Perez. Like, there is this group, the Hogard brothers. Like, there's this sort of panoply of dudes. I just don't know. Let me tell you this. Not one of those guys, except Ludvig Åberg, scares me the way if I was Luke Donald, I'd been terrified of Justin Thomas.
I think of the names that you've discussed thus far, if Shane Lowry is ninth, then I have both Meronk and Åberg making it. So there's 11. And then you get to choose, you know, what you want to do with Robert McIntyre, Matt Wallace, whatever down the line there. You don't have to mess around with the live guys, but you have to take the guy that won Marco Simone.
I'm pretty sure you do.
You kind of think you have to. And he also, I think Adrian Meronk quietly had a pretty great record over the course of the season in majors and, you know.
And no doubt. I mean, listen.
Distinguished himself pretty well.
He absolutely did. I mean, he, in terms of the qualifying points, he's fifth. But let me ask you this. Will they consider a live guy?
Whose resume over this past year is good enough to warrant the consideration?
Thomas Peters, maybe?
Is he a needle mover for that team? Is he a chemistry guy with these guys?
He did lead the point scoring for Europe at Hazeltine in 2016.
So Rory will remember that. John Rahm will remember that. Tommy Fleetwood will remember that. Tyrrell Hatton will remember that. And it's a question of, like, you know, would Luke Donald deploy the same kind of sensibility, which is you're looking for relationships, you're looking for connections, you're looking for, you know, potential combinations. Who's Thomas Peters playing with on this list?
I think that's the question. Maybe you go Nikolai Hogard and pair him with Ludvig Åberg, and you are throwing out, if you don't draft one of those live guys, you are really turning over a new page in Ryder Cup history. I mean, Rahm was vocal a few months ago about, you know, his disappointment at not having Sergio participate. pretty clear that the guys who auto qualified had something to say. Well, Spieth didn't auto qualify, but the guys who were locks had something to say about who filled out the rest of the roster on the U.S. side. You wonder if these guys will do the same. It will be interesting. And I think probably wise to turn the page, given that Thomas Peters, Sergio Garcia, Lee Westwood are not Brooks Koepka.
Right? That's right.
They're not, they don't have potentially six more majors in front of them the way that Brooks Koepka does right now. If you believe the eye test from the last 6 months.
Well, I do have a confession to make as we wrap up our immediate reaction here to these teams. And we'll be paying close attention as the Euro team gets finalized. We'll have a chance to discuss that here on the fairway rolling. But we'll also get a lot more information about how Marco Simone, you know, as it comes into shape. I mean,
from you. You were there.
Well, I played it on August the 15th. And I think like every week, the maturation of that whole thing, you know, whatever weather there that is going on there, like we'll have more information. But the confession I have to make to you, Nate Dogg,
is
I bet on the Euros and I got them at plus 145. They're available on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now at plus 140. I'm probably going to bet them a couple more times over the course of this as the information kind of sharpens and dovetails. I just think ultimately it's going to fit the ball striking. I really just what we saw out of Hovland and watching poor Colin Morikawa and poor Scotty Scheffler putt. It's an ultimate recency bias kind of wager, except for I did it before.
Yeah,
the tour championship, I put it in. I just wanted to have a little action because the thing that this golf course is not like anything that these guys play ever. It's just not that kind of golf course that you find on PGA Tour or in the majors. I guess it's kind of akin to what you might find in a US Open kind of setup, but not really. It is a thick thatchet of lost ball, gnarly Taylor Swift hair immediately off the fairway.
I'm rubbing off on you, buddy. You're paying attention. You're learning.
Yeah. You know, cultural phenomenon. How could I not? Come on, bro. I'm closet Swifty over here.
Yes.
But yeah, we'll see as it goes along. I might have some regrets. I just wanted to get it out there which way I'm kind of leaning based on what we're seeing so far.
I'm terrified. The fact that Scottie Scheffler played this well over the course of the season, and again, Justin Ray helps to contextualize it, and didn't get the wins, it's just we don't have Tiger Woods with his hands around the throat of a tournament in this course. Again, I think the biggest killers, you'd feel the best right now about Brooks Koepka and I guess maybe Xander and maybe Max because of the way that he played at the President's Cup. Other than that, you go, hey, Brian Harman, Wyndham Clark, two really impressive wins. Wyndham won twice this year, but you're not like that guy will go win a golf tournament for me when he's in position.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it will be fun to consider to keep talking about. The Euro team will come out. We'll have conversation around that. Taking a little bit of a break here on the fairway roll, and just in the same way that the PGA Tour itself is giving its members all of, a week and a half, 2 weeks before the first event of the fall?
Back to the Cabernet and the Chardonnay and Napa.
Well, there's no finer way to kick off a PGA Tour season than with
I'll be there.
Napa's best, yes, and I'm looking forward to the pictures. It's an annual Hubbard tradition, the Hubbard dinner. Everybody looks forward to it. My Eagle enthusiast, my par saving pals, little break here on the fairway rolling, but we will be back coincident with the arrival of the Fortinet and the new season and a little more information around how these Ryder Cup prospects are playing out for both teams. I hope, everybody, you have a great long weekend coming up, the Labor Day weekend. Lots of opportunity all over this great land of ours. Or if you're abroad, to throw a peg in the ground, if you're able to do so, please. Let's hit them straight up.